We're continuing with the Ein Yaakov. Amar Rav Parnach, Amar Rav Yochanan. We have a quote from the great Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan the Amora who compiled the Jerusalem Talmud. Rabbi Yochanan the Amora, who was very good looking, had long eyelashes and couldn't see. But he was still beautiful. Rabbi Yochanan, who was so beautiful that his skin would shine. Rabbi Yochanan...
Is this a relevant detail? Is that just like a side note?
I think the more you know about a person, the more the Gemara comes to life. So we should know as much as we can. Rabbi Yochanan, who was the disciple of Rabbi Yanai, and the Rebbe and brother-in-law of Reish Lakish, and the Rebbe of Rabbi Elazar ben Pidas. So, over time, you'll remember it too. So Rabbi Yochanan says the following, Ha'ochez Sefer Torah Arum Nikbar Arum. Someone who holds a Sefer Torah, a Torah scroll, barehanded. He doesn't take it with a talis or with something else. He touches it barehanded, so then he will be buried naked. Arum sakadaita, you really think that's what he meant? That you'll be buried naked? El amar bizera arum belo mitzvot. Rabbi Zera said, no, he meant you'll be buried naked without mitzvot. Belo mitzvot sakadaita, really? You lose all your mitzvot because you touched the Torah scroll barehanded? Nah, that's not what it means. El ema arum belo ta mitzvot. It means you lose that mitzvot which you're doing. Whichever mitzvah you were doing, you were learning Torah or doing something else, you should respect the Torah. You shouldn't touch it barehanded. Touch it with a talis, touch it with a cloth, unless it's necessary to do otherwise. Sometimes the Torah is going to slip off the table. You got to grab it. Or if it's a scribe, so then scribes touch the Torah scroll barehanded. As they're writing, they have to touch the Torah scroll barehanded. They don't have this issue. You'll notice that we only do this with the Torah scroll. When it comes to a Megillas Esther, us Ashkenazim, we touch the Megillas Esther barehanded. But a Torah scroll, we do not. Whenever possible, we touch it with a talis, we touch it with other things. Even if you're going to give a kiss to the Torah scroll, so we touch it with the gartel, with the belt of the Torah, or with your tzitzis, we don't touch it barehanded. Yes?
Are you talking about the parchment? Or like parchment. The wooden side?
What a great question. So it happens to be a machlokas. There are opinions that say you shouldn't even touch the handles barehanded, but we don't go with those opinions. We hold, as you see, that when people get aliyos, they do hold on to the atzei chayim, they do hold on to the handles with their bare hand. We go with the opinion that says that it's just the parchment you shouldn't touch with your bare hand. But in truth, it's a machlokas.
But that's you do? If you follow the stringent opinion, you should put on gloves?
Who said you should follow the stringent opinion?
Let's say if you want to.
According to that opinion, then when a person gets an aliyah, he would really hold the Sefer Torah with his talis. That's a chaim with his talis. But, I just caution. For Hagbah, I wouldn't do this. Yeah. You know, if a Torah, God forbid, falls, everyone present has to fast. Yeah, not a good... Yeah, we don't play games with that, right. Baruch Hashem, not. Yes.
There's a covering for the Torah, and then they like cover it with like a tali.
When they're transporting it, yeah, we do have that custom. We have a custom that when you transport a talis, we wrap it with another wrapping like a talis. Yes.
There a reason for that, or is it just?
I don't know what the source for that is. If you email me, I'll try to look. But it is a custom. There is such a custom. That when you transport a Sefer Torah, you wrap it with another wrapping. There are halachot that you shouldn't do things that are immodest in front of works of Torah. Like, if we didn't have our mezuzos inside opaque cases, we wouldn't be able to change kids' diapers where you had a mezuzah. So you could change the diaper, that even though you're revealing their private parts and you're also dealing with feces, in front of a mezuzah, because the mezuzah has an opaque covering, so it's not in front of the scroll of Torah. But technically, otherwise, we'd have an issue. If these books didn't have jackets to them, we'd also have an issue. You know, we don't do immodest things in front of holy objects like a Torah. That's why we don't have a mezuzah, for example, like in a bathroom or a shower room. They don't put a mezuzah there, even with an opaque covering, because that's a room that's for things that are immodest. It's perfectly okay. You're a modest person if you use a bathroom, right? You're a modest person if you use a shower. But it's still a place where people are doing things that are immodest. Not that the people are immodest. The acts are acts which are revealing. So, by the way, when a couple is married, so the mezuzah should be outside the door. When you close the door, the mezuzah should be on the outside. Back to our...
It should be outside for the house?
Because when the couple's going to be together, so it shouldn't be with the mezuzah in the room. So you could cover the mezuzah technically, you could put a cloth over it, but the simpler solution is the mezuzah should be on the outside when the door closes.
But the case is opaque, you said.
The case is opaque, but technically it should have two coverings. Technically, when a couple's going to be intimate, any work of holiness, any work of Torah, has to be encased in two coverings if it's going to be in that room with them. Or behind the door. Meaning if it's behind the door, that's also okay.
It could be they're doing a mitzvah.
They're doing a mitzvah, and even so, it's a mitzvah which is revealing, and so that we learned in the Ein Yaakov and Brachos. Got to check back. A few years ago.
Any holy books in your bed?
We didn't say that. Here in this neighborhood, if you go back 20 years ago, the rabbis had small apartments. Mm-hmm. And if you'd go to their houses, they'd have shiurim in their houses. And you'd see they'd have all these bookcases. And then they'd have a mechitza in front of the bookcase. Yeah. Because their living room at night would become their bedroom. So after everyone left, they'd fold up the table, pull out their beds. So how could they have their bedroom? They have all their books in their living room. So I said, if it's behind a door, that's also okay. So they'd have a mechitza. If you have a mechitza, you don't need a double covering. Because they'd have a sliding... how do you say mechitza in English?
Divider.
Sliding divider that goes across in front of all the books. And then technically the books are behind the door, behind the wall. So, yeah. Okay, so back, we went again on a tangent. Back to our Ein Yaakov. So if a person touches a Torah scroll barehanded, then he loses that mitzvah that he was doing, like the reading of the Torah. Now here, I just want to mention a few practical things. The dye with which we write a Sefer Torah is sensitive to liquid. I didn't know this. I learned this the hard way. I used to buy mezuzahs for people. People would ask me to buy for them mezuzahs. I had a neighbor who was a scribe, so they would give me the money. I'd give him the money. He'd give me back the parchment. I'd give them the mezuzah. And one time, a friend of mine was flying out to Australia. He was going to do shlichut there for 2 or 3 years. And he said he urgently needed 3 very expensive mezuzahs. 4 very expensive mezuzahs. So he gives me 1,000 shekel and asks me to buy him the 4 mezuzahs. Fine, I buy him the 4 mezuzahs, and he's going to fly out to Australia in a day. So I have him there right next to the door so that when he comes, I could hand them to him, and he could keep going. He's in a rush. And one of my kids at the time was like 2 years old, and they reached up, grabbed the mezuzahs, put them in their mouth, and started chewing. So I ran and grabbed them out of their mouth, and by then, many of the letters were smudged. I'm the most expensive mezuzahs I ever bought. So, my fault, what can I do? At any rate, that's how I learned that mezuzahs get destroyed by liquid. Even a drop of liquid will destroy the writing on a Torah or a mezuzah. Now, in a mezuzah, it's worse because you can't really fix a mezuzah once it's been smudged. Very often, once the letter's lost its shape, you can't fix it because a mezuzah has to be written in order. You can't write a letter in the mezuzah out of order. So once one of the letters is smudged, you got to erase going back to that letter. Well, you're not allowed to erase God's name. So you can't erase, you can erase up to the last name of God in the mezuzah. And if you got a letter smudged before that, that's it, the mezuzah's a goner. Because you have to write all the letters in proper order. So, that's a big problem with tefillin and mezuzah. So, why am I telling you this? Because we just said that you don't touch the mezuzah with your bare hand. So, people will kiss their tzitzis and touch the Torah scroll. Well, if that tzitzis or that the belt has your saliva on it, you can destroy the Torah. I'm saying if you kiss it and you give a wet kiss to the tzitzis and then touch the Torah scroll, you might mean the intense fervency of kissing the Torah, but if that saliva hits the dye, you can smudge a letter and now you disqualified that Torah.
I always kissed after.
That's a good idea. I would do it that way. So I highly recommend it. Touch it and then kiss it. Yeah, that's better. Yeah, I do that way too. One more thing, once we're talking about not destroying Torah scrolls, when you read in the Torah, if you point with those metal pointers, don't put it on the parchment. If it touches the parchment itself, then it can easily erase the parchment. It can erase the letters. You got to hold it slightly above the parchment, not on the parchment. You put the pointer on it, even if it doesn't erase it, you start drawing lines on the Torah scroll. So you got to hold the pointy finger drop above the parchment.